G'day, I'm Dave. If you weren't here yesterday for the talk bit, we're looking at the Bible for about 20 minutes each day, which is a good opportunity just to stop and pause and reflect. And I'm really keen to help you to think about next year and beyond. And I actually think that what the study, the time you're taking out now to do your study is going to be really helpful for your HSC. But the 20 minutes we're going to take out each day is actually going to be helpful for far beyond the HSC. It really is. And so for those here who are Christian, this is a helpful thing to remind you to keep trusting Jesus. For those here who maybe claim to be Christian, but you've kind of wandered away from Jesus, this could be a really helpful time to actually come back, to come home. That's the name of the series we're doing, is come home. And for those who aren't Christian and you might be new to this stuff, this could be have the most profound impact on your life. As you hear this stuff about Jesus and as you hear about who he is and what he's done and the things that he taught, and understand something of the reason why you should actually come back to him. And so I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you've taken the time out to be here. How about I pray again and pray that God would help us as we think through some more cool things. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you speak. We thank you that you speak so clearly to us in your word, the Bible. And we pray now that you'd help us to understand it. We thank you for the time we can take to study. And we just pray that you'd help us now to stop and reflect upon what you've got to say to us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. On the screen in a moment, a number of photos are about to pop up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get your help. The black one doesn't work very well, I'm told. There's a number of people that are going to pop up on the screen. And what we're going to do is rank them. On a ladder, let's give it 10 rungs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All together, 10. Yay. Okay, 10. 1. Okay, we've got these people. Person number one's going to pop up. Okay, who's this? This is Jesus. And the way we're going to rank people on this ladder is we're going to rank them in order, I guess, of goodness. Okay, so 10 being, you know, more or less, 10 being perfect, and 1 being a scumbag, 1 being terrible, 1 being the lowest of the low. Where should I put Jesus? 10, good. Jesus is 10. There's no need to discuss that one. Jesus is the only person who's ever walked on this earth who was perfect, who did everything as he should have done it, who wasn't disobedient, who didn't sin. He was the only person who has ever been perfect. And so we're going to put him up there as a number 10. The next one might also be obvious for other reasons. Who's this? Shout it out, Adolf Hitler. I don't know. He might well be the worst person to have actually ever lived. As far as the atrocities that he committed, the atrocities that he was responsible for during World War II, he's a significantly bad dude. Have we got any... One. Good call.
Nine.
You know what you... He did no good stuff. Everything was tainted by his evilness. The next person that's going to pop up is... Who knows who this is? Can someone tell me about Mama T? Tell me about her. Who was she? She was a nun. Where did she live? Did I hear Ethiopia? No, it wasn't Ethiopia. India, okay. If she was still alive, the Commonwealth Games would be in much better condition. I'll tell you that much. Does anyone know where she lived in India? What city? Calcutta. What type of a house did she live in? She lived in a slum. She lived in the slums. And so here was this lady who dedicated her life and did amazing things, was very generous, and was and really humbled herself in the way that she served the people of Calcutta and the homeless and the poor and the hurting of Calcutta. And so as far as on a scale of 1 to 10, she's not Jesus, but she was pretty good. How about we go Mama T, we'll put her on the 8 there. Okay, Mama T's on the 8. Next one is, who's this? Can you see? I've heard enough. Harry Kuehl, who's Harry Kuehl? He's a soccer player. He plays for the Socceroos. Does anyone know the name of his club that he plays for? Galatasaray. In what country?
Turkey.
Okay. Now, where would you put him? Let's have a bit of a debate on this one. Where would you put him on a scale of 1 to 10? He's not Hitler. He's obviously not Jesus. He's not Mother Teresa. Why would you put him 2? Okay, because he plays soccer. That might be a sin in some places. What else? Where else would you put him? 6? Why would you put him 6?
Yeah, I
know. You know, he's not terrible. He's got a tattoo, so we can't really put him at a 7. Yeah, because tattoos are bad. No, I'm just joking. How about we go 6? Harry... Harry Kay. Okay, next. Okay, she's back from last night. What's her name?
2.
Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan.
3.
Shout it out. Okay, 3, 2, 1. I want you to shout out what it is. 3, 2, 1. Okay, that was really clear. How about... she's not a 9. She's not Hitler. How about we go 4? You know, she's not Harry Kuehl. She's... Linz, that's what I call her, Linz. It's a flattering picture. Number 6, who's the person? Okay, who is it? Justin, JB, that's awesome. He's got a music store named after him, JB Hi-Fi, where you just get Justin Bieber records wall to wall. Now, show of hands if you're a lady amongst us and you've had some Bieber fever at some stage. Okay. Thank you, Hamish. There you go. Okay, well, he's too young to have done anything as bad as Lindsay Lohan yet. His haircut is terrible, so he's got to be lower than Harry Kuehl. So how about we put him at 5? JB. Come on, that would put him too close to Mama T. Okay, now here's the 7th person. It's right in the middle of the screen. I don't want you to talk about this one. Stop. Just want you to think. On a scale of 1 to 10, when it comes to you, where would you put yourself? I don't want you to shout it out. Where would you put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? My guess is that most of us know that we're not perfect. And if you think you're perfect, let's chat later on and I'll show how you're not perfect. But most of us also know that, you know, we're not Adolf Hitler. We're not the worst we possibly could be. You know, we're probably somewhere around an average Joe type of person like Harry Kuehl. We're somewhere at 6. We know we're not Lindsay Lohan. We know we haven't done as many good things as Mother Teresa. But we're not terrible. And so most people would probably put themselves on a scale of 1 to 10 at 6. Now, I want you to think for a moment as we look at that scale. I want you to think for a moment about heaven. I want you to think about how good do you have to be to go to heaven? The question will pop up on the screen. How good do you have to be to go to heaven? And so, like, where's the cutoff point? We know Jesus is in heaven. We know Jesus is perfect. We know he'll be there. But, like, is 8 good enough? Is 6 good enough? Is 5 good? Is 4? Well, you wouldn't think 1 is good enough. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good do you think you have to be to go to heaven? How good do you think you have to be accepted by God? Now, we're going to read a story, again from a biography about Jesus, written by a man named Luke, where Jesus tells a parable. He tells a story about these two blokes. And it's really a story about being good enough for God. It's really a story that Jesus tells that will help us to understand this scale. He'll help to show us how good you have to be to go to heaven. So have a look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. If you've got one of those red Bibles, can you shout out the page number? 1016 in the red Bibles. There's a couple more red Bibles and some other Bibles coming from the back. If you need a Bible, either look with the person beside you or whack your hand in the air, and I think there's some at the back, and Nikki, there's some at the side. If you need one. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Sentence number 9. Get your finger on it. Get ready to roll. Get your eyes on it. How we going?
Which one is it?
Luke chapter 18, sentence number 9. I'm going to read it out, and we're going to look at this story that Jesus told, and hopefully get some insights into how good we have to actually be. Let me read to you. Sentence number 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay, let's stop there just for a moment. We've got the scene. We've got two men, yeah? We've got a temple. If you can't picture what a temple is, just imagine a church. Imagine an old school type of church. These two men go to the church to pray. They go to the temple to pray. One of them's a Pharisee and one of them's a tax collector. Now, as you stop and as you, if you're sitting there listening to this story that Jesus is telling, straight away you're starting to think certain things as Jesus says this is what the two guys are like. Straight away you're starting to think certain things about the character of the Pharisee and the character of the tax collector. And so it's kind of, as you read this story, it's kind of obvious who the good guy is and it's obvious who the bad guy is. It's dead set obvious. Back when I was probably a little bit younger than you, I remember on Sunday afternoons, Saturday afternoons, they used to always have these country and western movies on television. They were really cool. It was kind of a cool bonding thing for me to do with my dad. He was like 100 years old, and we used to watch these old school black and white country and western movies. And one of the things that the country and western movies did is they made it really obvious for the person in the audience watching on television, watching the movies, who were the goodies and who were the baddies. Does anyone know how they did that?
The baddies always wore black.
The baddies always rode a black horse. And the goodies, you know, they more or less wear white. They more or less wear the white horse. And so the second you started watching the country and western movie, it was just dead set obvious. You knew that that guy there on that horse with that jacket was bad. And you knew that that guy there on the white horse with the white jacket, who would eventually get the girl at the end of the movie, all those type of things. You could tell exactly where the story was going to go. And so straight away, after we've read just sentence number 10, the first line of this story that Jesus tells, it is dead set obvious to those who are there which one is the baddie and which one is the goodie. Let me read to you the next sentence and we'll actually see which one is the goodie. Sentence 11. The Pharisee. Okay, he's the goodie. He stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. We've got the Pharisee. And so the first guy who prays in the temple is the good guy. And so we're going to get a picture that'll pop up. Now, he's kind of like the religious guy. You know, when you see a dude dressed up like that, ordinarily, you go, well, he's probably a pretty good guy. You know, he's probably not murdered anyone. He's probably a pretty good citizen and all those type of things. And so here's this religious guy, and it's dead set on. It's kind of funny that he's dressed in black, considering the country and western story I just told you. But you know the point. You know the point. He's the religious guy. He's the good guy. And he really was. If you were there at the foot of Jesus, listening to this story, as you hear about this dude called a Pharisee, this religious dude, you go, yeah, he's the guy on the white horse. He's the guy with the white jacket. It's obvious he's the goodie. It's obvious that he does the right type of stuff. You see some of the stuff it says there? Like he's not like the robbers. He's not like the evildoers. He's not like the adulterers who cheat on their wives. He's not like the tax collector who's standing beside him. You know, see sentence number 12, it says, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. You know, they only needed, under the Jewish law at the time, do you know how often they needed to fast? Once a year. How often did he do it? He did it twice a week. Like, this dude was pretty legit. He was pretty good. He was pretty moral. He was pretty upright. You know, he gives a tenth of everything that he got. He was generous. He went over and above what the law actually required of him to do. And so it's really obvious that here is the good guy. And he genuinely is a good guy. But then you have a look at the next sentence and we meet the tax collector. And it's really obvious that he is not a good guy. He's actually the bad guy. Sentence 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so we've got this second guy that does a prayer and he is clearly the bad guy. I kind of picture, you know, a pimp, drug dealing type of dude. You know, if you were to walk past him, you know that he tried to sell you some gear. You know that if you walk past him in a dark alley, he might well pop a cap in your head. You know, that's the type of dude we're talking about. Tax collectors in the first century are not like tax collectors today. I don't know if any of you have aspirations of being an accountant or working in the taxation industry or have parents who are merchant bankers or any of those type of things. But, you know, like people who work for the Australian Taxation Office, they're just normal people. Like, we don't think of them as gangsters. We don't think of them as pimps. We don't think of them as drug dealers. We don't think they're going to pop a cap in our head. You know, like, they're generally pretty good people. A few years ago, when I was at university, let me explain to you how tax works. You pay tax, right? That's how the government operates. We've got to give them some of our cash and our earnings. At the end of the tax year, normally the government, you do all your calculations and your deductions and all that type of stuff. What happens is, you'll often get a tax refund. It's really cool. The government says, well, you've paid too much tax. Here's $2,000, here's $3,000, here's $5,000, here's $10,000 back. And it's a sweet, sweet deal. One year when I was a university student, I actually didn't pay enough tax. And so rather than getting a tax refund, I actually got a letter saying, look, well, you actually owe the government money. And I forgot to pay it. And so months went by, I just totally forgot about it. And I got this letter. And the letter was really nice. Like, it kind of said, dear David, I miss you. No, it didn't quite say that. Your eyes are beautiful. No, it didn't say that either. It said, you've got nice legs. Oh, no, it didn't even say that. No, here's what it said. It said, look, you actually owe the government money. You haven't paid it. How can we help you? Look, ring this number if you need some help in working out a payment scheme. Ring this number if you need to talk to someone about a bereavement in your family. Ring this number if you need to, whatever, work out some type of situation so that I could pay it back. Do you know how much I owed? $5.17. I didn't need some nice letter telling me about how I could go into some investment scheme to be able to pay off this incredible debt that I still had. I just had to hurry up and pay it. You know what? First century tax collectors, the opposite of that. They're not sending you a nice letter saying you've got beautiful eyes and hey, how about we help you out pay your tax back. They send over a big thug with a bazooka on his shoulder. Okay, they didn't have bazookas back in the first century, but you get the point. They send over a big drugged up, muscled up dude and they wouldn't get $5.17 out of you. They would squeeze $517 out of you. They'd beat you up. They'd take some for themselves. They were the lowest of the low. They really were. And so you kind of need to have that picture and that understanding of what a tax collector is as you read this stuff, as you read this stuff about this tax collector who's standing in the temple to pray. So as far as our scene, it is really clear who the good guy is. The good guy is the guy making the first prayer. And it is really clear who the bad guy is. The bad guy is the tax collector. He was a scumbag. He was the lowest of low and was considered that by his fellow countrymen. And so if we were to put them on the ladder, it'd be really easy. Like, We're talking the Pharisee is up here. He's an 8. He might even be a 9. He might even exceed a Mother Teresa. You know, a tax collector may not be a Hitler, but, you know, he's down there. And it's really, really obvious which one is the good guy and which one is the bad guy. But the next sentence is shocking. It really is very shocking. If you've grown up in church for a while, you're probably not shocked by it. But you kind of need to look at it again. You kind of need to look at it as that country and western movie. You kind of need to look at it as it's obvious who the good guy and the bad guy is. Because actually look at what Jesus says about who goes home acceptable before God. Look at it. He says, I tell you that this man, talking about the tax collector, rather than the other, talking about the Pharisee, went home justified before God. Justified just means acceptable to God. Went home friends with God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the tax collector is the guy that's accepted by God. The guy that's down here is the one that goes home acceptable before God, as opposed to the guy that is right up here on the ladder. The bad guy is the one that goes home friends with Jesus. And so what I need you to do, just like last night, I need you to actually notice who Jesus told this parable to. And I think the verse will pop up on the screen. This is the verse, the very first verse again. Look at it. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. See, Jesus is actually talking to a bunch of people who think they're too good. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people kind of a little bit like the older brother last night. Jesus is talking to this dude, the Pharisee. If you read sentence 11 and 12 again, he says, God, let me read it in a different voice. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, or even like this dirty bastard beside me. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. You know, it's very proud. He's very arrogant. He's very presumptuous. He comes into the church. He comes into this temple and says, God, his prayer is, hey, God, look at me. I'm awesome. Check me out. I'm incredible, is his prayer. And what does the second half of verse 14 say? Well, everyone who exalts themselves like that will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will actually be exalted. What does the tax collector do? The tax collector, he can't even look up to heaven, but he beats his breast and says, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. God, please be kind to me. I do not deserve anything good from you. I do not deserve to be justified by you. I do not deserve to be accepted by you. You see, our question from the start, what was our question? It was up on the screen. Can you remember it? I can hear someone almost saying, how good do you... How good do you have to be to get to heaven? That was the question from the start. How good do you have to be to get to heaven? What is this part of the Bible? What is this story that Jesus tells us, teach us about how good you have to be to get to heaven? It's not about being good. Being accepted by God is not about being good. Good people don't go to heaven. That could be quite shocking for you to hear that. Most people think that the way to get into heaven is by being good. He's by not being a murderer. He's been a pretty moral and good and private citizen that, you know, I don't hurt anyone. You know, if I do slightly hurt someone, I say sorry. You know, good people don't go to heaven. Proud people do not go to heaven. People who are trusting in themselves do not go to heaven. You see, these are the people who are confident. Where is their confidence? Their confidence is in themselves, their own righteousness, their own goodness. And you kind of look down on other people. You see, the only people that will go to heaven, it's not good people go to hell and bad people go to heaven. No. It's all people actually deserve hell. All people have actually fallen short of God's standards. All people have sinned. And so it is only the person who recognizes that they've sinned. It's only the person who responds like the tax collector and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. They are the only ones who go home acceptable to God. Go home before God as righteous. Go home before God as justified. You see, the only way that you can go to heaven is not by being good. It's not by trusting in yourself. It's all about having confidence in Jesus. It's all about throwing yourself, like the tax collector, upon Jesus for mercy. It's all about saying, Jesus, look, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve anything good from you. I've sinned. Please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. And the good news of the gospel, I don't know if you've heard this bit before. If you haven't, this is beautiful. The good news of the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God makes it possible for us to be shown mercy. God makes it possible for us to actually be forgiven. God makes it possible for us to be accepted into heaven. You see, when you take a step back from this scale for a moment, Jesus isn't on rung 10. We've got way too small a view of Jesus if he's on rung 10. Jesus is on rung 10 million, let's make it, is that billion? Maths nerds? Infinity. 10 infinity. That's a lot. Jesus is way higher, way better, way more perfect than a 10 can possibly make him out to be. And so as you look at this scale, well, you're slightly better than Justin Bieber. There are some bad haircuts here, by the way. Not quite as bad as Justin Bieber. You know, you're slightly better than Biebs. You're not quite as good as Mother Teresa. You're about the same as Harry. What, you know, you're way better than Hitler, but compared to Jesus, we all fall short. And we all actually need to respond like the tax collector. We all need to throw ourselves upon Jesus for his mercy. You see, a Christian is someone who, regardless of where they... Look, I'm not suggesting we're all Hitlers. I hope you're not hearing that. I'm really not. A Christian is someone who recognises, though, that they have sinned, that they have fallen short, that Jesus is a long way off, and that their only hope is to trust Jesus for his mercy. And so, you know what the best thing you could do this week would be? A good thing you could do is drill some of the economics gear into your head. A good thing you could do is get some of your modern history dates down pat. That'd be a good thing to do. A good thing to do would be to understand in ancient history, it's not just about dates. It's about understanding why behind things. That'd be a good thing to do. It'd be a good thing to work out how to write words and sentences if you do English. That'd be a good thing to do. Seriously, these would be all good things to do. It'd be good to work out, what was that thing that was talking about? Capturing? Was that in maths last night? That sounds fun. That sounds like a good game. Like, is it like capture the flag? Okay. Anyway, they'd all be good things to do. Do you know the best possible thing you could do this week that would actually impact not just next year, not just what university you might go to, not just what career you might get? It would actually be to respond to Jesus in the same way as the tax collector does. And so there's three groups of people here, and I'm going to encourage all three of you to do different things. Those who are already Christian, the way I want to encourage you is to keep coming to Jesus in the same way as the tax collector. Don't ever get proud. Don't ever get arrogant. Don't ever look down on the people around you who aren't saved, who aren't Christian. Always throw yourself on God for mercy. So keep trusting Jesus. That's the message to most of you. To those of you who have kind of wandered away, who are Christian, but you know you've kind of been having a foot in both camps, the message to you is come home. Throw yourself upon Jesus for his mercy again. Come back to God. Jesus is good. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to come home like the prodigal son last night. And for those here who aren't Christian, I want you just to keep checking this gear out. We chat here for 20 minutes or so. When you get some spare time, come and chat with me. Come and chat with one of the leaders. Chat with your friends who are Christian. Chat in the small groups. And my hope is that there'd be people here this week who aren't yet Christian, who actually go, you know what, I want this, I want to come home. I want to come back to God. I want to become a Christian. So I'm going to pray for all three of you, all three of us, that would be the case for all of us. How about you pray with me, and if you agree, just say amen at the end. Dear God, we pray that you'd help us to know that being friends with you is not about being good. Coming home to you and being accepted by you is not about being better than other people. And so I pray for those, I pray for myself and those here with me who are Christian. I pray that you'd help all of us to keep clinging to Jesus and to keep throwing ourselves on Jesus for his mercy. And Father, I pray for those here who are Christian but have kind of wandered away. Please draw them back. Please help them to come home. Please help them to put their trust in Jesus again. And Father, I want to pray for those here who don't yet know you, and all this Jesus stuff and Christianity stuff is new. Father, I pray that you would help them to take time this week to investigate stuff. And I pray that even this week, you would draw them home, you would bring them back, and that they would throw themselves upon Jesus for his mercy. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he loves us. We thank you that he died for us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.